You should find an outline in your bulletin. The title should say, Do What It Says, from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do what it says. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, our Father, we are in need of Your Holy Spirit to teach us, to convict us, to enable us to carry out the things we know to be true, things that are found in Your Word, things that are very plain and clear. Just help us, we pray, and speak to us individually and as a church, that we might be an effective church in this community. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you've already started receiving instruction from your teacher. If you started school already, and maybe the instruction you've received has been very good, maybe you've agreed with it, and maybe you've understood the instruction that you've received. That's good. That's just not enough. Maybe it's the chocolate chip cookies that my wife mentioned that we should probably make today. If you have a recipe for that, maybe you've memorized it. You don't even have to look at the recipe. You just start creating this thing, whether it's chocolate chip cookies or whatever it might be, whatever recipe a lot of you ladies know by heart, okay? That's good that you know it thoroughly and that you have it memorized. It's just not enough. Okay, maybe it's you go and buy that item at the store and it says some assembly required. So you open the box and the pieces are everywhere. So you thoroughly read the instructions and you understand what it's saying. You see how the pieces fit together. It's just not enough. Because in all these situations, whether your teacher has instructed you, this is your assignment, or this is what I'm trying to communicate to you about math or science or English or reading, or maybe it's that recipe, you've got everything you need in the cupboard and you know thoroughly the recipe by heart, or you have the item and it's all before you in pieces and you've read the instructions and you know how to assemble it. It's just not enough to know that stuff. You have to actually do what it says. Because you could sit down at the table and you can know all that stuff thoroughly and you can have all the materials you need and the ingredients, but that doesn't feed anyone. It doesn't create the recipe on its own. Just the knowledge of the recipe does not create it. The knowledge of the teacher's instruction doesn't actually carry it out, doesn't actually bring it into your life. You have to do what it says. You have to do what your teacher has said. You have to do what the recipe tells you to do. You have to do what the instructions tell you for it to be beneficial. Otherwise, you're left with a pile of parts on the floor, or ingredients in the cupboard, or instruction that's very good, but if you haven't put it into practice, it doesn't really help you. If you remember last week, James gave us this very good, very practical instruction. You know, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry And you could take that one principle and you would absolutely change your life if you just applied that every day to your life and said, okay, I'm going to be quick to listen to those around me. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to be slow to become angry. You would be a changed person if you made that your motto in life. If you made that your theme verse. And then James comes to verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word. He's just told us, you know, it's very important that you're quick to listen. And then he says, just a few verses later, do not merely listen. In other words, the listening is important. It's very important. It's the first step. But it's not the final step. It's not the end of the matter. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Here it is. Do what it says. I mean, I'm so convicted by this because this really is my main problem in life. It's I know the verses. Like, I can quote the verses to you. I can tell you where they're at. I can explain to you what they mean, right? I'm standing among people right now that are the same. Many of you have spent more time in church services than I have, and I've spent quite a bit of time in church services. You've sat in more lessons than I have, many of you. You've heard this stuff probably more times than I have. And that's good. It's good. But James would say, do not merely listen to the word. And you can deceive yourself. And how can we deceive ourselves? Because we think that's enough. Because we think, okay, I was at church. Last Sunday I was at church. The last however many Sundays. For years and years and years and years I was there. That's good. I heard the word. From the preacher, or the teacher, or the small group leader, or the Sunday school attendant. That's good. That's the first step in the process, but it's not the final step. The final step is to do what it says. Because we can be deceived and we can think, well, I listened to the word. I was at church and that's good. That's step number one. And you get a sticker, right? Or whatever you get for that. I don't know what you get, but it's not the final step. It's not the end of the instruction. It's only the beginning. And it's so important that you do what it says. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. The goal of the Christian life, I've told you this before, is not information. If that was the case, we'd all be doing pretty well. We have all kinds of information. All kinds. We have the completed Word of God. Old and New Testament. Many of us have read the entire thing. Very good. You know, it's even better than that. Take one verse. Read it. Understand it. Do what it says. I'm telling you now, that is actually better, is what James is saying. That's actually better than reading the whole thing and having all the information. Because you can have all the information and not do anything with it. And if I'm honest with you, that's me, right? That's me. I'm a walking information person. Like, I have information just, I can pour out of you. I can bore you with information that I've read about verses and about books and about history and theology and ideas. But actually, taking action is hard. It's hard to get people to take action on what they know. It's just tough to do. He goes on, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's an interesting statement. Like, okay, why are you saying that, James? There's in our day, this is weird to us because there's mirrors all over the place. I'm assuming you looked in a mirror before you came to church. Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe 16 times. I don't know. But, you know, when I have my tie on, I have to look in the mirror. Because I can't really do it if I don't look in the mirror. I can't see the top part of it. It might be too long or too short, and I have to do it 3 or 4 times. You know, I have to look in the mirror. You know, do I have dirt all over my face? I don't know because I can't see, so I'd have to look in the mirror for that. In those days, when James is writing this, they didn't actually have a glass mirror. You know, they didn't have a lot of mirrors. I mean, maybe you could see your reflection in like a river or a really still lake. Probably not a river, unless it's really still. But you know, how are you going to see your reflection? They had these pieces of metal that they would polish. And it wasn't a very good image that you would see. It was distorted. It was like when you look at those weird mirrors that make you look really stretched out or make you look really wide or you know, they make you look different because the bend of the mirror, right? So they didn't have good mirrors in those days. So it's actually possible you could look in one of the mirrors in James' day, your hair could be a wreck. But you might have a mirror that made it look okay. So your friends would have to tell you, look, your hair's a wreck. Like, what are you doing? You need to get a better mirror. But you know, it was actually possible to not really see a clear image of yourself. And he goes on in verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So there's an illustration here. He's saying, you know, the one who looks intently into the Word of God, and continues to do this, not forgetting, like the man with the mirror, not forgetting what he's heard, remembering that part, listening well to the word, but doing it. That's when the blessing comes. Upon the doer of the word, not just the hearer. Because really, it'd be easier if you just heard the word and you were blessed. you would just come here and hear the word and you go home and be blessed. Much easier. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to do something with it. Jesus, the brother of James, told a similar story here in Matthew chapter 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I mean, the only difference in that story between the two people that built the house is the one put it into practice, and the other one didn't. They both heard the words. But one put it into practice. And that person built it on a rock. Put their house on a rock. The one who didn't put it into practice built it on the sand. It's essentially the same thing James is saying. It's not enough to just hear it. That's step one. The final step is doing what it says. Jesus, right before he left the earth, in Matthew 28:16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Speaking to his apostles, his 11 disciples that were left, and to us as well. Because all authority has been given to Jesus, he says, go. They've received the teaching of Jesus. They spent 3 years at his side, day and night. They're following Jesus around, receiving instruction. Now go. Don't just stand around here. Don't just keep the information you have to yourself. Go and make disciples. That involves telling other people the message. Go and baptize them. Go and teach them to obey. Not only teach them what the words are and the right meanings and teach them what to do and what to say, but teach them to obey the things I have commanded you. And by the way, I'm with you always. So you're not going alone. I'm going with you through the Holy Spirit. I'm going with you to the very end of the age. I'm with you. So go to the end of the earth with this message. It's challenging to me. You know, we support missionaries who do this. But it's kind of hard to do it yourself. Because you're going to face rejection. You're going to face hostility. It's not exactly popular to go into the world and say, look, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. That's it. Well, people don't want to hear that. But I don't get to change the message. I'm just told to go and deliver the message. And they might hate me for it. That's what I'm told to do. I can't just hear the message. I can't just hear the word. I have to do something with it. A couple of things from the commentator. The law of God is perfect. First, because it perfectly expresses the nature of God. And secondly, because it perfectly matches our own nature. These two sides of the law belong together. In his commandments, the Lord has taken what is true about himself and has expressed that truth in a rule for us to obey. I think that's a good summary about what the law really is. Well, what is the law of God, right? Essentially, it's this. The Lord has taken what is true about himself and express that truth in a rule for us to obey. I guess you could say that God never asks us to do anything that He doesn't do Himself. When He says, go and make disciples, what on earth was Jesus doing? His whole ministry. He was going and making disciples of everyone. You know, when it says, do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, well, we know some things about God. God is not a cheater. He's not a liar. He doesn't steal. We know some things about the nature of God because of the law that He's given us. I mean, are we going to stand up and say, well, these laws are not necessary? That's interesting, because the United States would agree with a lot of this stuff. Their own just common laws that you find everywhere. If you steal enough, and to a certain degree, you're going to end up getting punished. Psalm 1 would say it this way, blessed is the man. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This person is listening to the Word. They're meditating day and night on the Word. And James says that's the person who will be blessed in what he does. Or the psalmist would say he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I think it's really the same thing, right? He's saying the same thing. James is saying it in another way. I found this helpful. It was on the back of your outline. It's the last paragraph. We shall begin to understand the link between the law and liberty if we go back to the very moment of the law giving at Mount Sinai. The Lord is speaking to those whom He has brought out of Egypt. They have been redeemed, and the means of their redemption was the blood of the Lamb. We see then that the Lord gives His law not as a means of salvation, but as a lifestyle for those who have already been saved. It is the way He wants His redeemed ones to live. Okay, you know, people talk, it's about rule keeping. That's what the church does, they keep rules. And, okay, maybe we do, but it's the way He wants us to live. That's the motivation behind the rule keeping. It's not to earn salvation, because you can't do that. It's a gift freely given from God. And I found this helpful too. True freedom is the opportunity and ability to give expression to what we truly are. We are truly free when we live the life appropriate to those who are created in the image of God. The law of God safeguards that liberty for us. But it does even more. Obedience brings life and power. The law of God is the law of liberty, because it safeguards, expresses, and enables the life of true freedom into which Christ has brought us. This is the blessing of which James speaks, the blessing of a full life, a true humanity. Obedience is the key factor in our enjoyment of it. There's a perfect law that gives freedom. It's the way you and I were meant to live. It's true humanity, as the commentator said. It's what being alive really means. But you don't understand it by living a life of disobedience, by being quote free to do whatever you want. That actually is not freedom. You're putting yourself under the bondage of sin at that point. You're becoming a slave to sin and not a slave to righteousness. But I can't get any further than the first verse, really. I kept coming back to it because do not merely listen to the word, Robbie, and deceive yourself. I can feel really good about what I've said or what I've discovered or what I've learned in the past week. But I deceive myself if I don't do what I've learned about, if I don't do what it says. The cookies don't magically appear. You got to get your hands dirty, so to speak. You got to be willing to do some work. You got to put your knowledge into practice. You got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. But don't merely listen. That's only step one. The final step is do what it says. And then you'll be blessed in what you do. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Father, it's easy to feel good having heard the word. But listening to the word is just the first step. Understanding the word is good. The real challenge, though, the real fruit comes when we do what it says. When we put the instruction into practice. When we actually obey what the word is telling us to do. Then we'll be like the tree planted by the water, who yields its fruit in season, whose leaf doesn't wither. It's got plenty of water. That person will prosper. Because you will make them prosper. Because you will see their effort. And you will pour out the blessing that only you can pour out. We don't want to be ineffective. We don't want to be unproductive in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful for the sake of the kingdom. We pray that you would bring forth the fruit and help us be willing to work in the vineyard, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.